Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1. And for our 10th anniversary celebration here, I wanted to preach from my favorite book of the Bible and what has been my favorite sermon series here at Sovereign Grace, the book of Philippians. And I want to preach or read the first 11 verses of Philippians 1 as we begin this morning with our scripture reading and God speaking to us through His Word. Philippians chapter 1, let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of our God. Thus the reading this morning of Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. One of the characteristics of Sovereign Grace OPC these first 10 years has been that the building is not the focus. We do not have a building. The only real significant piece of property that the church has is the bottom half of the church sign outside the meeting facility here today. We do not know if God will someday bless our church with a building, but without a building, we always know that the building will never be the focus, and the focus then will be the church. The church as the members of the church, which is Christ's true church. Excuse me. If you attended the program last evening, you may have noticed that there has been great change in the membership of this congregation over the last 10 years. Of the original five families who began this church, the core families in 1993 who met together to plan out the early stages, only two of those families remain in the church. Of the original 18 charter families that were part of the organization service when we had our own elders in 1998, nine of those families have moved on to other places. Half of them are no longer here and part of the church. We live in a transient community, and over time, many of our members have come and gone. And so we are left asking ourselves, without a building, without the same members, what then is our focus? What is it that Sovereign Grace OPC, as a church and its regular members, seeks to achieve and its goals as we minister on earth here as members of Christ's church? Well, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, answers that question. The book of Acts tells us that the Apostle Paul planted the Philippian church about 52 AD. He came into the town, according to Acts 16, and found no synagogue, so he went outside of the city, out by the river, where he found a women's prayer meeting, and he witnessed to the women there at that meeting, and some of them came to believe, and one of those women, Lydia, made her house the headquarters of the Philippian church. The apostle planted the church in Philippi, and now, as he writes this letter from a Roman prison, 10 years later, about 62 AD, he writes to a church that has been meeting together for some 10 years without a building. In chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, we read that Epaphroditus, a member of the church in Philippi, has traveled to Rome to visit the Apostle Paul and to tell him and update him on the church situation in Philippi. And now it is believed that Epaphroditus is the one who brings this letter back to the Philippian church as Paul expresses to them these words from the Lord that the Holy Spirit has inspired him to write 10 years later. As the letter begins, you notice that there are three particular parts to his introduction in these first 11 verses. He gives his greeting in the first two verses. In verses 3 through 8, we have his prayer of thanksgiving. And in verses 9 through 11, we have his prayer of supplication, his continued prayer for them and what God will do and what he prays that God will do in their lives. As the greeting begins in the first couple of verses, you notice that the apostle has paired together different names. Paul and Timothy are paired together as an apostle, servants of Christ Jesus. Then he writes to the saints in Philippi who are paired together with the overseers or the elders and the deacons. They are paired together with the officers of the church, and even the officers are specifically mentioned as paired together, the overseers and the deacons serving Christ. And then finally in verse 2, the final pair is the Trinity pair, that is, God the Father paired with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and no mention of the Holy Spirit, thus indicating the apostle is specifically doing something with the pair of names that he mentions in these three parts of the greetings. What is he doing? What is he saying? He is expressing their union with one another as it comes in Jesus Christ. And as the apostle begins his greeting, it really has sort of a tunnel effect here, a funnel effect, we should say. You have God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ paired together. Then on the next level, we have Paul and Timothy paired together in Jesus Christ, who speak from Christ, from heaven to the saints. And then at the lower level, we have the officers of the church paired together with the saints of the church. There would be no officers if it were not for the saints who have elected them, all in Jesus Christ. Notice the common thread. Jesus Christ in the first part of verse 1, Jesus Christ in the second part of verse 1, and God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ is what unites them all together into one. And now as Paul prays for them, you notice he begins his prayer in verses 3 through 8 with thanksgiving. He is thanking God for the saints. He is thanking God and expressing how he thanks God for this church that he planted 10 years ago in Philippi. As he reflects on those 10 years, as he reflects on the news he has heard from Epaphroditus, he is filled with joy. Verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Why does he pray with joy? Because of their partnership in the gospel. Now remember how he began with this sort of funnel effect. Obviously, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are on top. But Paul is an apostle, you see? And you would think that his ministry would be more important than just these members in Philippi, or these officers in Philippi. He's an apostle. Christ appeared to him directly, according to Acts chapter 9, as Christ appeared to him from heaven and commissioned him to be an apostle. But Paul describes their union together as a partnership in the gospel, a partnership in the ministry of Christ. No ministry is greater than the other in the eyes of Christ. And he tells them in the latter part of that verse, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. They are in partnership serving Christ together. And the apostle recognizes this, and he, as he has heard the report on their work of the gospel in Philippi, he writes to them and tells them that he prays with joy. And based on what he has heard, verse 6, he is confident that the God who began the good work in them will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Sovereign grace has not been a one-man show. It is a partnership in the gospel. Last night, as we went through the history of the church, as we described the initial stages of the steering committee and all the work that the steering committee did for all those years for the sake of Christ in the gospel. As the pastor of this church from the very beginning, as the church planter, the men of the church and the women of the church have always said to me as members, your role is to preach. Your role is to proclaim the gospel. And we as a congregation are going to serve Christ in the other ways as a partnership in the gospel to continue the work of Christ here on earth in this church and in this community. A partnership is what the apostle gives thanks for. And as members of Sovereign Grace OPC, we give thanks to God on our 10th anniversary for the partnership in the gospel that we share together in Christ, giving the evidence that Christ is at work in our hearts and in our lives. But notice as the apostle goes on in his thanksgiving in verses 7 through 8, he expresses to them that it's right for him to feel this way about them. Why? Because I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. The apostle did not spend long in Philippi. Soon he was driven outside of the city, we're told in Acts chapter 16. Left for dead as they stoned him. But the apostle continued his ministry connection with the saints. In other letters we read that they supported him from Philippi in his continued preaching. And now as the apostle is in prison, notice he says in verse 7, while I am in chains, there is still a connection, a partnership between them and his ministry. But not only that, verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. As the apostle thinks upon them, he thinks upon them with affections, the same affections of Christ. Christ has sent him. He has represented Christ in their lives by being the first one into their town, into their lives, to share the gospel with them. And as he has moved on, planting other churches throughout the world, as he now finds himself in a Roman prison, writing this letter, speaking to Epaphroditus, he longs for them, not with just his own affections, but with the love of Christ that is being expressed in this funnel, or this tunnel here, from all the way from Christ through the apostle to the saints in Philippi. And for this, he gives thanks for this partnership that they share. But now as you go on to the last part of this prayer, as the apostle is concluding his prayer with his supplication, and meaning the things that he is praying about for them, as the apostle concludes this prayer, we see that as he thinks of the first 10 years and the remaining time, what kinds of things he hopes and has hoped to see in the life of this church. What's his goal? What is he praying for? Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I have seen in some churches that they will take the first phrase of Paul's prayer in this verse, and they will make that the theme of their church. This is a church where love is abounding. Love for one another, love for the saints is truly expressed in the body of this church. But the second part of Paul's prayer oftentimes is not present. Paul prays in knowledge and depth of insight. That means he's praying that it is not just a church that loves one another and expresses love to one another. That's important, yes. But when you come to the church, when you come to worship at the church, there must also be something in terms of knowledge and depth of insight, a study in the Scriptures, a learning about God's Word. And while a church shouldn't be focused alone on knowledge and depth of insight without love, at the same time, you need to have the love and you need to have the knowledge and the depth of insight working together. But you know, as we look carefully at this first part of Paul's prayer of supplication, we must not disconnect it from the first three verses and the funnel effect that Paul has expressed in those verses. What Paul is praying for is certainly their love for one another. But first of all, it must be their love for Christ to abound more and more. And if their love for a Christ is abounding more and more, their love for one another will abound more and more. And as Paul prays in this verse, and you notice the way it's phrased, I pray that your love may be abounding more and more in what? In knowledge and depth of insight. His prayer is that the members of the church in Philippi will increase their love for Christ more and more as they worship Him on each and every Sabbath day. His prayer that their knowledge and their depth of insight into the things of Christ, into His very Word that they learn about Christ from, will be increased more and more. That as a congregation, they will grow in knowledge, grow in love in Him. And why does he pray that way? Verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Do you see what is the focus of his mind and the focus of this church as he prays for it? He's not praying and giving thanks for their new building or their new facility. He's not giving thanks or praying for all the statistics they can show him and all the pats on the back that they can show him that's taken place in the first 10 years. But his prayer is that ever before them, they will have their minds on the day of Christ, on that day that Christ returns from heaven, on that day when the living and the dead will appear before him in the throne of judgment. On the day when some will be taken to heaven forevermore and some will be thrown to eternal destruction. He prays that their love may abound more and more and their knowledge in depth of insight so that they will gain so much so that on that day of Christ they will appear as pure and blameless on that day. Now, how do they reach that goal? What is his prayer that they can be pure and blameless on that day? Well, notice that first part of verse 10. And I'm going to start again at verse 9 because it connects together. That your love for Christ and one another may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Why? So that you may be able to discern what is best. Now, a lot of your translations translate it better, I think, when it says, we'll be able to discern what is excellent. You see, Paul's prayer for the saints in Philippi is that their love for Christ and their knowledge and depth of insight into Christ may abound and increase more and more so they may be able in their lives to discern what is excellent, to discern what is best, to live their lives in a way which glorifies Christ. So that as they live their lives, as they make decisions in their lives, because of their growth in the knowledge of Christ and the love they have in Christ, they will know and discern how to make the right decision. They will know and discern in their lives what is best, what is excellent, what kind of decisions and God-glorifying decisions they should make in their lives as they seek to glorify Him. And why does he pray this way? Because the day of Christ is coming. And Paul knows that. His focus is not on earth. His focus is on the day of Christ. His focus is on the end. And his prayer is that on that day they will stand pure and blameless before him. And so now as they remain on this earth, as they remain members of the church in Philippi, his prayer is that their love for Christ would increase. Their knowledge and depth of insight into Christ would increase. So that as they live their lives, even now, God would put in their minds and hearts the ability to discern what is right and just and glorifying before him. What better purpose for a church? What better hope and goal for a transient church which has no building and only half a sign as an asset? To pray and focus on the members who pass through that body. That they, as members of the church who have attended here, who have worshiped here, that they, as regular visitors of the church who have worshiped here and attended here throughout the years, that during their time of worship, that during their time of being a part of that body, their focus would remain on Christ and the day of Christ. And they would grow in their love and knowledge of Him during the time that they were here. That as they have grown in that knowledge and discernment of Him, they would best be able to discern how to glorify God in their lives, in their career, in their daily decisions, in their family lives, all the various aspects of their lives, that they would know and be able to discern what is best and most excellent. Because that day of Christ has been forever put before them during that time that they worshiped here. And they want to be pure and blameless on that day. That's the 10th anniversary prayer that Paul expresses to the Philippians. That's the 10th anniversary prayer that all the members and officers of Sovereign Grace OPC are praying for one another, and for past members and past visitors and present visitors, that that would take place in their lives. But as Paul's prayer concludes in verse 11, notice that this is not an uplifting your own righteousness type of prayer. Notice that as he concludes in verse 11, he prays and reminds them where that righteousness comes from. You see, his prayer in verse 9 is that they love one another and Christ more and more, that their increase in their knowledge and depth of insight into Christ and His Word would be increased more and more. Why? Because when they know Christ more and when they love Him more, verse 11, they are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from where? Themselves? Paul's prayer states, through Jesus Christ to be the glory, to the glory and grace of God. They are sinners. In their own works, they will never be able to stand before Christ on the day of Christ, totally pure and blameless by their own strength. But his prayer is that they will be strengthened in their knowledge of him, in their love for him, and as they have come to know him and love him more and more, and what he accomplished on the cross and in his perfect life, they will be filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through him. And as they have been adopted by him, they stand when he returns as pure and blameless in his sight. Again, as Paul begins the letter with his greeting, we see the union being expressed in the three different levels. God the Father is in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy are servants and in union with Jesus Christ. The saints and the overseers and the deacons at Philippi are in union with Jesus Christ. And as they are in that union with him, and when he returns, they will continue that union from that point on and forevermore. And so Paul's prayer is that while they remain on earth, their love for him, their knowledge and depth of insight into him would increase so much more, that as they live their lives, they would know and do what is excellent and what is just. As a session, we have tried this weekend to make the focus of our weekend of Thanksgiving not ourselves or what we accomplished or what we have done, but it is our hope and prayer that what Paul has written in this letter 10 years after the planting of his church would be the prayer of the current members of this church for all who have been a part of it for the last 10 years. That everyone who comes would be blessed through the regular preaching and teaching of God's word focused on Christ. While in attendance here, their love for Christ would have increased. Their knowledge and depth of insight into him and in his word where they find him would have increased. That they would have been better prepared for that day when he returns, so that they may stand before him blameless and pure and go to be with him forevermore in heaven. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this letter to the Philippians and Paul's prayer, which he wrote to them some 10 years after the beginning of the congregation. As we are gathered here, and we reflect on the 10 years of blessings that you have poured on us, we pray that our focus would never change. Father, we pray that you would help us to increase in our love for you, that through the ministry of the church, the knowledge and depth of insight into our Savior would be increased by the members and the visitors more and more. Father, help us to give thanks for our Savior, of whose righteousness now belongs to us, because we belong to him. Father, help us to look forward to that day when he returns, that all the things around us in this world would pale in comparison to that day he returns and he takes us to be with him, pure and blameless forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.